Can you hear me now? Can I get feedback if you can hear me? All right.
Yeah.
Now, sounds there.
Yeah, we can hear you. Yes, we can hear you.
It is good that we are seeing the will of God in these days. God's will, that is really a wonderful focus. It's not anything that we need or that we would like to have, things that we are imagining, but it's God's will. He has a plan, He has a will, and He wants to execute it in our time. And everything needs to serve for doing His will. I just looked up Matthew 6. Maybe someone fast can read it. Oh, John 6, verse 9. 9 and 10. John 6, 9 and 10. I can't hear anything, the sharing brother is saying.
Okay, alles klar. Gut, dann lese ich selber. Wunderbar. Ja, das ist die Technik. Damit muss man auch irgendwo sich
abhalten. Can I read from myself?
So, I can't hear anything, then I will read myself. This is technology. Well, I'll read it myself. The Lord says in John 6, no, in Matthew 6, pray then like this, Our Father who is in the heavens, let your name be sanctified. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. And only then comes our need, like the bread, daily bread, and forgiveness of sins, and also no trials, and so on. But the Father has a burden, and we need to see that. So many people think only about themselves and their needs. No, don't think about what's the Father's will. But what we see today is wonderful. I drew these three pillars to this flip chart to live in the will of God. What is God's will? We saw that it contains mainly three decisive things, which is first salvation, our salvation. As we read, God wants all people to get saved. And then, this is God's will, your sanctification. And I would even say that these two, the first two go together, because my salvation is not just one time, has not been done one time. I was saved out of sin and the world, out of a corrupted world, but I'm being sanctified right now. This salvation implies my change, my renewal. So what the Lord has started in every one of us is a wonderful work, and He will save us to the uttermost and can do it. And this is His will, and we are in that. And here it's not, first of all, a matter of what we can do, but we can enjoy what He has prepared for us. And therefore, that's why we are here now. And what we've seen this morning, God wants us to know the mystery of His will. He has revealed the mystery of His will to us through the gospel. This is the good news, that God, that this was manifested through the gospel. He says, from this ages this was hidden. Now it is revealed to His saints, to His saints. Isn't that wonderful? And we are partaking of that today. While many people are worrying about the future, about life, worrying about many things that you may have. We have such a hope, and we are in a process of salvation. We have, to us it has been revealed, God's will. And now it must have an effect in us. It must grow in us. And many others need to see that. And what is the content of this mystery? Actually, the content is the person of Christ himself. Christ himself is this mystery. The mystery that was hidden from the ages, it was hidden. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then it is said, we are announcing him, Colossians 1. He is a wonderful person. Our salvation, our sanctification, and the result, finally, is the church. The church is also part of the will of God. Everything's ushering in that God becomes a built-up church, gets a built-up church, finally. And this will of God, we must see, and therefore it is worthwhile living. That is different from what many people think about God. God has prepared a salvation, a great salvation in his Son. And this Christ, we have read it. What is the basis of our salvation? That is Christ. Christ, Jesus, the I Am. We are talking in Karlsruhe about the Gospel of John, and we are in the 8th chapter where the Lord says, I Am, I Am the I Am. He shows people who he is. Before Abraham was, I Am. Such a wonderful Lord. It's not just the Son of Man. It's not just Jesus, it's the I Am who presented himself to Moses even in the wilderness, at the bush. He became flesh and he tabernacled among us in Jesus. He died, as we have seen this morning. He resurrected. All that is part of his unsearchable riches, his death and resurrection and his ascension. He is the Christ and King, and this Lord is the content of the gospel. This is the content of the gospel. On this rock we are building. On this rock I am building my life. I want to abide on this rock. On this rock everything will be set. He is the rock on which we build. If we don't build upon him, we build on sand. And therefore, it is important for us to partake in that wonderful gospel, which is Christ. Now we come to message 3. I don't want to go too far. I just want to give us an impression of what is God's concern and God's need in these days. What he needs are stewards. God needs stewards. You know, God is so rich. We've seen it this morning. The message of Olaf was so long. It could have been even longer, but it shows how rich God is. To look into this book means to discover more of these riches, to dig out what all the riches, the wonderful things are in there about Jesus Christ. And now there is just one problem. All these riches need to be dispensed. as long as it remains in a hidden place or in a casing or in a stock storage, these riches are only static. They won't have any effect. So these riches need to be dispensed, to be spread out. I want to draw another schematic for you to make it a bit more understandable. There is a half circle on the top where he puts riches of Christ inside. The riches of Christ, as Paul says in Ephesians 3:8, to me, the least of all saints has been given this grace to preach to the nations the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. Just to repeat it, and it is important to repeat it, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Christ is so rich, you will never be able to fully understand him. You may know a lot about him, you may see many things connecting, but you will always see new sides of him. You will always discover something new about him. Something new about his height, his depth, his width, and so on. So these riches are there to fulfill God's purpose. And in order to fulfill God's purpose, these riches need to be dispensed. And for this, stewards are required. There is a little arrow going down from these riches into a small circle with an S, which is stewards. I just want to give you a desire to be a good steward that says, I want to serve in God's household. This household of God, this is not just like our household on earth, like me, my wife, when we have to look at our purse and see how much money we've got, what can we afford. It's not like that. God is so unsearchably rich. Jesus is so rich. And he wants to be dispensed. We would say to be a steward means to be make economy, to save money, to be sparing. But with God, it's all different. He says, dispense me. I need stewards who dispense, who give away. Stewards who know these riches, and then who dispense them. One of my sons is working in the logistics industry. And there they are building storages, warehouses for different purposes, for different companies who store their things in those warehouses, and they get distributed from out there. There are distribution centers. Trucks come in, bringing in goods. Trucks go out, distributing goods. There are huge shelves in there, and things are being brought in and brought out and stored at the right place. And all this works without people. Completely manless work is done there. But God doesn't do it like that. God needs human beings, living creatures, people like you and me, that we know these riches, that we get familiar with these riches, and then that these riches get dispensed. You need to know these riches. You know? Those people, young people, young boys, like to seek treasures. And if you seek a treasure, you imagine there's a treasure, gold, dug down in the earth, in a box, and you, like you saw the pirates formerly, you're throwing up the gold medals and all that. And that's how we should know our Lord. We should appreciate all the riches of Him so that all these other things get secondary. So first of all, we should be stewards before anything else. This is our task. We should be, and we are stewards. Everyone is a steward, and we've been called as stewards. Every one of us has been given one talent. Right? And now the question is, do I dig it into the earth, or do I deal with it? Have I seen the value of this treasure? Then I will use it. Then I will dispense it and spread it among people. And I will realize in the end that there will be a gain. There will be a profit. There will be a result at the end of it. When I dig it up in the earth and don't take it seriously, I don't work with it. And finally, it will be taken away from me. And I thought I had it. That shouldn't be our case. Every one of us has at least received one talent, and we can deal with it. We can do traffic with it. That means you have to deal with it. It has to be lying on your table, be before your eyes. And this treasure, you know, is especially Christ. And therefore, we need to deal with Christ. We should gain Christ. We know this term from Philippians chapter 3, where Paul says, I want to gain Him and be found in Him. That was his focus, to gain Christ. In all his life, he wanted to gain Christ, but also dispense Christ. And this Christ, well, I listed some of the verses here in point A1. I said here Matthew 4:16. I can tell you just it's that point where it said the people sitting in darkness have seen a great light. We dispense that light. We gain it. It works in our lives and shines into our hearts, and we expose ourselves to that light, and then we will have light also to give to others. And it will give light to others when we dispense that light. And John 1:14, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we saw His glory. That is this Christ. That is God who became a man. And then in Acts we see that the gospel is not just a thing. It's not just preaching. It's not just going, telling people something, going out on the street. Maybe that's one way, but the content of the gospel is just Christ. In Acts 18, we see Philip, and he preached Jesus as the Christ. That's wonderful. That's really a wonderful expression. Jesus as the gospel was preached. That is in chapter 11, Acts 11. Then in Romans 1:9, it says, God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the gospel of His Son. God, whom I serve in the gospel of His Son. We are the servants serving with the gospel. And this gospel is the person of Christ. These riches, these unsearchable riches of Christ, we are announcing. We are reading that in Colossians 1:26.
Das Geheimnis von den Weltzeiten und von den Geschlechtern her verborgen.
The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now has been manifested to His saints, to whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are announcing a person, such a wonderful person. And another content of the gospel Bible is Christ and also the church. In many places in the New Testament, we see how important the church is for God. And it is even the enlargement of Christ. It's the enlarged Christ. In Ephesians 1, it says, it's his body, his fullness. The fullness of the one who fills all in all. That's the church. It's almost incredible. When we have a look at the saints, when we see each other in our failures and weaknesses, God says, the church, his fullness, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. Do we see the church like that? It's also part of that gospel, the church. And I don't want to neglect that when I preach the gospel. I want to speak about the church. When I speak about Christ, I want to speak about the church also. And it is the gospel of the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, to prepare for his return also is part of the gospel. Awaiting the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, just a verse to read it out to you. Verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is about to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, and so on. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. This is really a serious commission. When we think about the riches of Christ, we always think about nice, beautiful things, positive things. But there's also a serious aspect that the Lord will come back and will judge every one of us. We will be standing before him, before his judgment throne, and we will have to justify ourselves for our lives. And this is also part of the gospel. I charge you before God, solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is about to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. This makes our service as a steward serious and earnest. And what do you think? What does the Lord want us to do when he's coming back? Let's read that also. That's in Matthew, written in Matthew. Matthew 24.
Wer ist denn der treue, kluge Sklave, den der Herr über seinen Haushalt gesetzt hat?
Who is the faithful servant who the Lord has set over all his household to dispense food to the others? Blessed is the one, the slave, that the Lord finds him doing this. So when you are someone dispensing Christ, then you are someone who will be recompensed, who will be rewarded by the Lord when he comes back. They don't only wait for the Lord coming back in a passive way, but they dispense Christ actively. He will set him over all his possessions. There is also the other slave, the slothful one. He will not get a reward. This is for sure. Because he did not take care of God's household. And as I said, his household is not just a saving, spendthrift household, but it's a household in abundance, in fullness. In the Old Testament, there is a name under which God revealed himself to Abraham, and this name is El Shaddai. This is the all-sufficient one. This is the God having prepared everything, who wants to be everything to us. He is the rich one for all those who call upon him. And such a Lord we have. And brothers and sisters, we should not be the ones that are spendthrift. Sometimes I think we've seen so much. We are so blessed, have been so blessed by the Lord, but what are we doing with that blessing? How does it go on? How does it flow out? We should be stewards, and we should dispense and give these riches to others. We should dispense those riches. Where does it need to go? It needs to go to people. It should go out to people. It should go out to people in the world. It should go out to people in the church, to the saints. When we encourage each other and talk about our experience, we talk about what the Lord has shown us in the word that gives us light and encourages us. And this is what a steward does. He dispenses and he sees where he can get something that he can give on. This is also the attitude of a steward. To give on. He goes into the great storage, great big warehouse, which is the Bible, and he seeks and digs out all the treasures, and when he comes out, he's got something to dispense. Praise the Lord. Such a one we are all supposed to be. We've got so much word. We've got so many books. We've got the church meetings. We've got the saints around us who serve in the word. We've got saints who have much experience with the Lord. Don't neglect that. Don't take that for granted, but use it. Assimilate it. Deal with it. Do trafficking with it. Dispense it. Just if you've seen a little of the Lord, dispense that. You don't need to have everything already. Just you've touched a little bit and you give it out. And you will realize how even when the 5,000 were fed, this small boy only had some bread and some fish. You'll see that it will get multiplied. When you just leave it in your little plastic bag, then it will mold. It is as if you hadn't had anything, but when you dispense it, when you give it on to others, there will be this multiplication effect. We see that in the word and we see that in our experience. And a happy giver is blessed by God. And giving is more blessed than taking. That's the verses that we see from the Bible. We know these verses, right? And this also has a spiritual effect. Dispensing is more blessed. It's better than just being served. And then it says, faith working through love. That is point B of my message. Faith, brothers and sisters, is nothing passive. It's all active. We need to exercise our faith and activate it. Faith is not something sitting like a potato on the couch and that's it. I believe in Jesus. Yes, fine. I believe that I have it. But no, faith is something active. Jesus speaks to us and we respond to that by believing, by accepting it, taking it. We know this verse from Hebrews where it says, the word didn't profit anything to them because in the hearing once it was not mingled with faith. The good news, they heard the good news in Hebrews 4, verse 2. The good news was also announced to them. For indeed, we have had good news announced to us, even as they also, but the word heard did not profit them, not being mixed together with faith in those who heard. There was no active faith. Lord, thank you that you speak to me in such a way. I want to lay hold of it. I want to apply it for me in my life. I want to apply your promises in my life, in faith. Faith is something active. And therefore, Paul says in Galatians 3, he says, hearing of the faith, how did you receive the Spirit? By hearing, and then by activating faith in us. stirring up faith. We hear the Lord speaking to us and we respond with faith. And that's how we receive the Spirit. Most of us, right? That's what was our experience. And that's how our Christian life continues, to activate and be active in faith. We come in faith to the Lord, that the Lord can speak. When brothers and sisters give their testimony, let's listen. Well, when brothers and sisters tell us something, listen to them. Maybe the Lord wants to speak to you through them. And hearing in faith. And also Paul says, I believe, therefore I speak. That is 2 Corinthians 4. We believe, that's why we speak. We cannot always have our, don't always have the experience. Some, in some things we may not have the experience, but we still live in faith. I believe, therefore I speak. Therefore I speak tonight, because I believe. And I pray also that we start all speaking in faith, each one of us. Don't wait until you think you have something, because we all have received already the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hallelujah! Christ lives in you, and therefore you can say something when we activate our faith. Then this, the life of the Lord can also flow to others. And that way we come, we attain unto oneness of faith. This is also written in Ephesians. Achieving the oneness of faith. All this is something in faith. The economy of God, his administration, his household, is all taking place in the area of faith. I believe, therefore I speak. Sometimes I don't know so much, but I believe. And we will achieve the oneness of faith. This is a wonderful step, which is mentioned in Ephesians 4, where it speaks about growing, being prepared unto the dispensation, unto the full knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the fullness of the growth of Christ. And a steward is not, is a one that is not satisfied just to dispense Christ, but he has a concern. He wants to bring forth fruit, like Paul in Ephesians, low in Colossians, he says, Colossians 2, Colossians 1, even 28-29, whom we announce, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man full grown in Christ, for which I also labor. He had a vision when I serve the saints with the riches of Christ, when I give them what they need. The more we grow in this stewardship and are active in that stewardship, we will see more where the need is. You know, when you are not partaking in that stewardship, you will never know where the need is. And in the end, you'll only think about yourself and about your spiritual growth. But a steward, he thinks about the need that others may have. And there is a vision, there is a view of preaching other to others. Why? That every man in all wisdom may be presented full grown in Christ. When our children were still small, we were seeing too that they all have to do a chore. When my son, when he was 8, from that time on, he was responsible for the beverages when we were having lunch, wanted to have lunch. He was taking care of the beverages. He had to look for the water, for the mineral water, for the juice, that it all should be put to the table. This was a service. We all start in small things when we start serving, right? And the more we serve, the more we get into it. And we learn to be responsible. And that is what the Lord wants. He wants to have stewards that take responsibility in his house. To dispense Christ and to, in 1 Timothy 1, 3 and 4, I need to read this verse to you because it's an important verse. As I admonished you, even as I urged you when I was going into Macedonia to remain in Ephesus in order that you might charge certain ones not to teach differently, nor to occupy themselves with myths and unending genealogies, which, and this is the character of these things, they give occasion for questionings rather than God's dispensation, which is in faith. When I read that, I thought this is important for us in the church to have a clear view of what it's all about, that we know God's will, that we don't go on side streets and get deviated. When you look around, you know, we all have the time to surf in the internet and look at so many things, opinions, statements, and all that. You know, brothers and sisters, there are so many things in the internet that are just genealogies, myths, and all of that. Doesn't need to be genealogies. I've also seen that, but they give occasion more for questionings than rather than God's dispensation, promote God's dispensation in faith. We need to be stewards. And God's economy is his plan, is the building up of the church. Here another circle down there, which is the church, his kingdom, and the stewards is in between. And God wants to bring in people into his kingdom, into the church. And for that he needs stewards, and he doesn't just need one. He needs many, so many circles here with an S inside. I'll draw some of them here. Just circles with a little S in them. They are all connected to the riches of Christ, and they are connected to his kingdom, the church. All arrows going upward and downward. So many stewards that are dispensing these riches, many stewards that dispense these riches into people. And as we have seen this morning, I drew the arrow in the wrong way. Actually, it's correct. It goes up also, as we heard this morning. It's a matter of having fellowship with the Lord. We are talking with the Lord, conversing with the Lord. The Lord called us into this fellowship. And in the measure, to the extent we dispense Christ, we experience also how we grow in that fellowship. The Lord will lead us. The Lord will give us feedback. We are coming to the Lord. We receive from the Lord. And this fellowship, and in this fellowship, then we are. And Paul also, and John, all these saints should be brought into this fellowship. John says, I want to have fellowship. Want you to be in that fellowship also. And in the epistle of Peter, we read how the virtues of Christ can be dispensed. There is a whole paragraph in 2 Peter 1 where all the greatest promises have been given to us. Everything for life and godliness has been given to us, freely given to us, so that we can become partakers of the divine nature. And now you dispense, it says. So we have been given this. It is Christ in us. the unsearchable riches of Christ. And now it says, now you dispense. You can dispense virtue. The Lord is full of virtue. If you want to know what is virtue, look at Christ. He is the virtue in the world. If it's his, may it be his love, his faithfulness, his humility, his meekness, and him we should dispense. You can do it. You can do it. That is what the Lord is waiting for, that we dispense Christ and in his virtues, dispense his virtues, and you will see more of him. You will see him more and dispense that knowledge. Don't think that you have known everything already. Don't go beyond your measure. We are still people who have defects, but we can still dispense Christ and say, Lord, I want to see you more. No, I don't want to enter into too many details, but at the end of this section, there it is said that when we do all this, when we dispense him, like in the end, there is the love, brotherly love, and then the love, and we dispense all that. We dispense all these things. We will not be lazy nor unfruitful in your students' fellowship, in your family. Today, we were talking to a neighbor family of my daughter. We were sitting together and we were able to enjoy Christ together and dispense him together. And that was a gain. I didn't lose anything. When you dispense that these riches, you are not poorer in the end, but richer. When I withdraw from my bank account and I dispense it, then my bank account will be empty. But when I take from Christ and dispense him, then I will have more. I will have made gain, profit. I'll be richer. You have to experience that. Praise the Lord. And then point six, let me just enter into that point, serving the Lord. No, God. God loves those who serve him. And Lord, we have to pray, Lord, keep me in your love. Keep me loving you. This is in 1 Corinthians 1:2. These verses are well known, but it's good to have a look again at them. It's 1:2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But even as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not come up in man's heart, how much God has prepared for those who love him. He has shown what is on his heart to us. He has revealed us his plan. This is tremendous. And this is something that we should not neglect. We should remain in that. This he has prepared for those who love him, for those who love God, and those for those also all things work together for good. And then it's also said, we can also read that verse, John 21. Maybe I won't look it up. You can read it up, read it yourself. But who is qualified to dispense Christ? The sheep, to shepherd the sheep and the lambs and to give them food. That are those who love the Lord. That is wonderful. Let us be careful and always have a free heart that is sets the Lord in the first place. Let us tell the Lord, I love you in the first place and give him the room in our hearts that belong to him. Lord, you are the first one. Lord, I love you. That is what Lord wanted to know from Peter before Peter was failing so terribly. Maybe you're a failure, but the Lord pats on your shoulder and says, Peter, Do you love me? Do you love me more than those? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. And the Lord, what does the Lord tell him? He doesn't say, I, you too. He says, shepherd my sheep. Shepherd my lambs. This is the prerequisite. You are the right one to take care of my sheep when you love me. Lord Jesus, amen. These are the stewards that dispense God's riches. Praise the Lord, who don't serve the Lord, not men. We serve each other. Of course, we serve Christ to people around us. But we serve God in doing so. You don't talk what people like to hear, but we want to serve God with all we do. In that we don't want to please ourselves, we don't want to please people, we are serving the living God. This is what a steward is. And now, if we've still got some time left, I let Traugott continue. Nice that there are still some minutes left. We praise you, Lord. We love you, and we are your stewards, Lord. It's wonderful to have a conference again, and we are hearing and listening to wonderful things in this conference. What the Lord has entrusted us with, all his possession, that is written here. I just looked it up in Matthew 25. A person going out of the country, he called his servants and gave all the possessions to him. The Lord gave us all his possession. The gospel is the full gospel are all his riches, and we have seen it. We've been blessed so richly. And he needs people. God needs stewards who dispense these riches. And also those who know his will. The verse that Helmut read yesterday, I looked it up. To do your will, God, is my pleasure. And I have hidden your law in my heart. This is a picture, a type of the Lord Jesus. He gave himself to do the will of the Father, and it was good pleasure. And when we want to be dispensers, then of course we need to know the riches. Without knowing the riches, of course, it's difficult. Let me give you an example. When you don't know your smartphone, then it's difficult to use it and to love it. When we want to know the Lord, when we know the Lord and his plan and want to love him, then it's good to know him. This morning, Olaf said, raise questions. Ask questions. Don't be satisfied just to know something superficially. We want to go into the depths. We want to know the truth. We want to know the gospel. And the gospel is really all-inclusive, and it needs people who dispense it. And my point is point C, which is the joy in dispensing Christ. This is a wonderful aspect. The joy to dispense Christ. And that was said already yesterday in the testimony. I just took note of it. When we testify of the Lord and dispense him, that makes us happy. And this is a great blessing to us. That is the one hand. Yeah, when we speak the word, dispense it, share it, then we are also filled. And then we are happy. And then we are satisfied. And the first example in that outline is a great joy to lead people to the Lord. Like the parable in Luke 15 that the Lord spoke himself. There are three parables, one after the other. First of all, he showed himself as the good shepherd. And here we see the parable of the seeking woman and the parable of the loving father. He left the 99 sheep and sought for that one sheep, searched that one sheep. That is how the Lord loves people, loves human beings. And there was great joy in John, in Luke 15:7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner repenting rather than over 99 righteous persons who have no need of repentance. This is what he says to the Pharisees. And they did not admit that they needed the Lord. But when one is repenting, all heaven is rejoicing. And when you've got time, you read it. The seeking woman who's seeking the silver coin, and also the loving father waiting for the son when he came back, bringing him back into the house. These are the three parables. And this is also a type of us going out into the desert, into the world. The Lord leaves all the sheep in the desert. This is a type of the world. But let me come to point three. Our food, dispensing Christ and doing the will of God. In John 4, Wolfgang already mentioned it, that in our home meeting we are talking about Bible studies of John. And we enjoyed that a lot. And in John 4, there is a wonderful story we know all know, we all know it. The Lord went down from Jerusalem to Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria. And on halfway, I did some research on that, on halfway, the well of Jacob was there in Sychar. That was Sichem, where Abraham built his first altar. He meets a woman, and what I just want to say here is that there are different situations. The Lord goes out from Jerusalem, and then it says he had to go through Samaria. He had to pass through Samaria. That was no chance, no coincidence. At noontime, he came to the well and he sat down. So when we have the desire, the sensation to share something, well, actually the Father has prepared all the situations already, like we see here. At that time, that was in the afternoon, actually it was not possible at that time that a Jew talked to a woman, a Samaritan woman. At that time, there were all these Baal temples, and that was a heathen region, but the Lord sits down there. And it was nice that the Lord sent his disciples away to go to shop something, food, to buy food, because if the disciples had been there, the conversation wouldn't have been like that. So it was not by chance that the Lord sent away his disciples into the city. And then the woman comes. And the Lord presents himself. If you knew, in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who's talking to you, knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The Lord knows what he can give. And it's also important to us to know what we have and what we should dispense. And then he talks to that woman, and then the result is that the Lord says, who will drink of that water that I shall give him shall by no means thirst forever, verse 14, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water. And here, the Lord dispensed himself. He was 100% in the will of God. The whole story tells us that step by step the Father prepared everything. He was one with the Father, and in that oneness he dispensed the water of life to that woman. And then his disciples came back. But the disciples did not rebuke the Lord. And Jesus said to them, he said, then they went out of the city to the Lord. In the meantime, the disciples came back. But he said, I have a food that you do not know. I have a food to eat which you have no knowledge. The disciples then said to one another, did anyone bring him anything to eat? Verse 33, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You know, the Lord testified here that he had food, he had eaten food. Food, what does that mean? That means that we are satisfied. We get satisfied. The Lord was really satisfied by dispensing the water of life to this woman. This is really a mystery. When we dispense the Lord, there is a well in us, there is a food in us, a satisfaction. And the Lord showed that to us. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. When we are in the will of the Lord and dispense him, then the first thing is that it's a full satisfaction to us. It's our food, and this is important. This is actually the joy that we have in that moment. It's not a joy that we need to generate or to create in us, but when we dispense the Lord, then we experience a satisfaction, and this is important. I just don't want to stress that. There is not just joy in the heavens in Luke 15, but the more it is important also that we get to that source of satisfaction when we dispense something in the home meeting or in the church meeting. It is important that we are one with the Lord and that we dispense the word that satisfies us, that we are satisfied and the saints as well. And to dispense the word should be an enjoyment to us. And we should never neglect that in the church. It's the joy that the Lord gives to us. And it's not a matter of our head. It comes from the heart. When we dispense the Lord, then we receive a food that really satisfied us deeply inside. And it's good and important to know that food. In the Gospel of John, the Lord was often confronted with questions from the Pharisees and scribes. They always came with questions. But the Lord often didn't answer these questions. He always said, I am the light, I am the bread, I am the resurrection, I am the life. And that is important when we dispense the Lord, when we are in our home meetings and speak in the church meeting. He wants to bring us back to the tree of life, and this gives us joy and this makes us satisfied. Often there are questions But we want the saints to go back home joyfully. Therefore, you have to bring them back to the tree of life, to the water of life. And this gives us joy. When we discuss questions, and but we don't go to the tree of life, and then we don't eat from that food. It's a good example here, a nice story, that the Lord opened the well up for that woman and gave her living water, and that was his food that made him satisfied. Praise the Lord. And then it's also said that this well became a well in her that welled up into eternal life. When we dispense food, when we are stewards, then we get something eternal which makes us really satisfied, which really satisfies us. And this is Christ's joy. And now let's have a look at Paul. In Philippians, in the last winter conference, we were talking about much about Philippians. And then I was asking myself, Paul's background was not that nice, and his environment was not that nice, but he wrote an encouraging epistle to the Philippians, although he was imprisoned. The fellowship in the gospel, I thank my God. Philippians 1:3, I thank my God upon all my remembrance of you, always in every petition of mine on behalf of you all, making the petition with joy for your fellowship unto the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun in you a good work will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. When we read this portion, it's good also to read the story in Acts 28. To bear that in mind, because that was not so nice. It was not such a comfortable situation. It was not so gratifying, actually. But still, he was able to encourage the saints in Philippi in such a strong way. And what was his mystery in Acts 28? He experienced so much. He was shipwrecked and he was bitten by a snake. He had storm and got shipwrecked and all that. That was not such a nice starting situation. And then he was kept in arrest by a soldier. For us, it would not have been possible to encourage the saints. Maybe we would have even depressed others with our talk. But he had a mystery. He went to the saints, saw them, and in verse 23, it's really interesting, Acts 28:23. Now, when they had appointed a day for him, many came to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and solemnly testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning until evening. And surely this was a joy to Paul. Although his environment did not look that nice, he dispensed and he received joy. Surely he experienced that deep satisfaction like the Lord experienced in John 4 in that well. He experienced the same thing, and this motivated him. This was his testimony. This was his joy. And he could write such a positive epistle to the Philippians. And this is my message tonight. We need the enjoyment of these riches, and this makes us capable to encourage other brothers and sisters and bring these riches to them, that they also may experience these riches. I think we all have all reason in the house of the Lord to be joyful. We should appreciate all the riches that we have. The Lord said that He entrusted His possession to us. We are messengers. We are servants of the Spirit. And this is what we are doing in the house of the Lord and in our home meetings. We bring the saints to this life, to this Spirit. It's not a matter of our head, of knowing so much. It's always important to bring the Spirit into the meeting. When we come into a meeting, we leave our natural man, the difficulties of our daily lives, we leave them outside. At the latest, when we enter into the meeting, go in through the door, we open up our hearts. We open up that this life may flow. And this life is the food for us, for the saints, and for the one who's sharing. He's got the most profit out of it. And this is my message tonight, that when we dispense the Lord, when we release the Spirit, then all those who listen will be satisfied, and they will receive food. And this is the way of dispensers. We are not poor stewards, by no means. We've got the gospel, not only the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of building up, of sanctification and of perfection for the building up of the house. We've got to say something to every man, but especially to those in the house of the Lord. Bring this Lord into the house and everybody will be satisfied and will be happy. You'll be joyful. And this is the joy of dispensing Christ. This is the way of the stewards. Paul was filled. Everywhere he went, he preached the gospel. Churches were built up. And this was the joy of his heart. And we are also joyful when people get saved and when saints grow in faith. In 2 John 4, I'll read it out to you. I rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, even as we received commandment from the Father. This joy is what we have when we see that saints are growing as they learn to enjoy the Lord, learn to come to the tree of life and enjoy and learn to call upon the name of the Lord and eat the word. This is a great joy. I always need to think about the saints that have been in the church since the beginning. It is a joy for them to see how people enter the church life, how they are joyful, how they grow, and how the Lord fulfills His plan bit by bit. How He builds His church. We are just marveling at that. Brothers and sisters, it's not a matter of law and method. It's about speaking out the word with joy and learn the word to eat the word in a way that we can dispense food. And this also satisfies the saints and satisfies us. And I'm fully confident that this will bring us to the goal. This is not a matter of form or law. It's not Moses. Moses gave us the law. but he came to give us grace. And this is the way how God fulfills his will, by dispensing grace. And we are all stewards of that. We are all stewards. We are maybe not all exercised, but we all can do it. We've all received one talent, at least one talent. And a talent means that what we have received can be further developed. In the world, we say this one's got talent and that one's got talent, but the Lord also says you've got one talent. And a talent means that what we have received, we also develop it on, and we grow, let it grow, and we dispense it, and that will build the church. We are these people. Each one has received the gift of grace. Each one has received a gift. And we are making it grow bit by bit every day. And it's not difficult. It's not a difficult thing. Sometimes it's an overcoming. You have to deny yourself and your thoughts. But the blessing is ours. We have to invest some time. We have to prepare ourselves. But the joy is great. When you get prepared, the joy is great. When we get food already, when we are preparing for the meeting. And this is good. This is a good thing. And what I want to testify is also that we all the time need to go to the Tree of Life, especially when we go to the home meeting. Go to the Tree of Life. Go and lead them to the Tree of Life and let the Spirit flow. The other day we had read in our morning watch, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, this is capable of making us one. The fellowship of the Spirit makes us one. There will be never, no method to make us one, that we are one in our minds. That only the flowing of the Spirit can do it. Only the Lord can do it when he gets formed in us, when he grows in us. And this is our great responsibility as a steward, to dispense that food, to release that flow, that stream. But we have it. We have that food. Each one of us has it. And then there is another point, the joy, that Psalm 126, the joy of the captured ones coming back, going back to Zion. When the captured ones come back into the house of the Lord, this is the greatest joy. Of course, then we are happy, especially when the believers that have missed the riches of the Lord in their lives. I could tell you a lot of our past, of my past. Before we got to know the church, we saw only repentance and obedience, sin, forgiveness. That was the gospel. We didn't see more. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we are so richly supplied here in the house of the Lord. Here he reveals the full gospel to us. All the riches, all the unsearchable riches of Christ, which we've never heard about before. And we are happy if people come back into the house of the Lord and get free and praise the Lord together. Praise and enjoy the Lord together with us. It's not a matter of growing in number that we get bigger and bigger, but people should be released and get into the enjoyment of these riches. And this is our task, and this is a great joy. We will be like dreaming ones. Our mouths shall be full of laughing and jubilating and rejoicing, and we can really testify that the Lord has done great things to us. Maybe just a little testimony of mine. When at that time in 79 we came into our first meeting, that was the spring conference in Möhringen in Stuttgart, I first I, for the first time, saw many young Christians at one place where we were really joyful with Christ and in Christ. I didn't really understand much. Maybe I didn't understand much in that meeting. Actually, I didn't understand anything. But I saw one thing. I saw people that were joyful in their faith. And I always desired that in my Christian life. I found that in the church, and we should never lose that, to have joy in the Lord. And this will have an effect on our lives, on our environment, and on the church life. Praise the Lord. We have all reason and we to praise the Lord, and we have the enjoyment. The word is so clear. In Romans 8, it is said, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. It's not complicated. You just speak it out with your mouth, then you will have the reality of being in the spirit. To experience joy is just a simple thing. Come out of your mind into your spirit and say, I am in the spirit. And then this word will be your reality. And this is as simple. That is the way of receiving that joy. And that is my message tonight, that we can be joyful messengers, joyful stewards, and can bring joy to the saints. We shouldn't be too much in our minds, but we should go into our spirit, and that is what we bring into our meetings. And then we have food, and all those who are in the home meeting, they go out happily and satisfied. Let's be dispensers of such food, and that way the house of the Lord will be built and his will be done, and that's how we are sanctified. Bit by bit, the Lord will gain room in us because we love the Lord more and more, and we will love the word more and the saints more, because this is so rich. There is so much. The Lord, everything's closed right now. Everything's locked down. We've got time to go into the Word. And the brother said, read spiritual books. And this fills us, and this we will bring into his house. The Lord permits that, but this time will be a profit to us, to take time for the Lord, for fellowship. So much is closed. Churches are closed, but we have fellowship in the house of the Lord. We take care of the riches of the Lord and about stewardship and about the Lord's will. And this way the Lord will reach his goal with every one of us.